Whack Matters is brought to you by Audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters, you can sign up for a free 30-day trial where you can test out Audible's awesome audiobook monthly subscription service. Make sure to go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters. Welcome to Whack Tracks episode 4, where we talk about episode 4 of Channel Zero season 2, No In House. I'm here. My name is Michael, by the way. I'm here with my co-hosts,
Mac,
Mark,
Matt.
And we're going to do a thing where we talk about this episode, talk about what happened and our thoughts on it. I'm going to go ahead and dive right into this summary here we got from sci-fi.com for episode 4. Episode 4 was called
The Exit.
Spoilers. They get out. Well, some of them do. Margot and Seth would be the bright spot in all of this. Ah, young love. It always buoys the spirits. Thing is, Seth is definitely a bad guy. Or maybe he definitely knows what the house is up to. He's not confessed this to anyone except for JD, who, when, if you recall, is not the really JD.
At what point is he definitely a bad guy?
Maybe.
But then maybe.
Right.
But an alpha version of JD who murdered JD and is not pretending to be him, in case you forgot the last episode.
So,
or the episode before.
They don't know the definition of the word barricade or definitely.
Oh, we already knew that because there was a part where they said, like in the first episode or second episode, where it said they definitely agreed, but then they
definitely didn't.
They did not. Dylan's having a hard time convincing his wife Lacey that they're married. Ooh, that's a bad way.
Yeah.
It's a bad relationship.
That's a pretty good sign it's over, son. Yeah.
She's forgotten everything about him, and she's also pretty smart.
At what?
Where is the indication of her being
because
smart?
Because she stabs him. She pretends to remember something.
That's not being smart. It's
it's actually playing dumb. She pretends to remember something, so he'll loosen the restraints, and just as he does, she tries to escape. Dylan binds her hands and tells the team she doesn't remember anything. I'm just going to put my own tone on this. Then, just as you expected, she grabs a knife and tries to escape. It goes poorly.
For who?
I
mean, now we know because we watched the episode, but that...
Dylan gets stabbed in the arm, by the
way. That's like, it doesn't... The way it say it goes poorly, it doesn't say who it goes poorly for in the synopsis.
Well, she tries to
it
escape.
It goes poorly for the viewers.
No, sorry. She tries to escape. True. It goes poorly.
That's episodes 1 through 4.
The way that I read that may have missed. So she tries to escape. It goes poorly. She didn't escape was the implication. Because she got tied up by a zip tie again.
Yeah.
The people in this weird alternate reality town don't like that everyone's leaving and start following the gang, who are heading out toward a corn maze on the edge of town to find the No End House. It's the slowest escape scene you'll ever see in a horror story.
Is that what's written?
Yes.
That is true.
Also,
that's the most accurate part of the synopsis so far.
Unbeknownst to the gang, they're being followed by Margot's dad, who follows them into the field. Last we saw Margot's dad, if you remember, he fell down a garage hole.
They should have used a different word besides follows twice.
Can you explain why he was allowed to go past the grass?
Who?
Margot's dad.
He didn't see sign.
He did go. Why he wasn't or
no,
what?
Because
all the other
people stopped
at the edge.
Yeah,
there were other zombies inside there.
Well, we don't know that they weren't allowed to. They just didn't.
We got a little winded.
Yeah.
All that slow speed chasing really
all
got
that, all that tradition.
Tradition.
Yeah.
See, people in this world are either someone trapped here or a creation that someone is made to live here. The ones who belong here, like fake Alpha JD or Margot's dad, they need to eat memories or they die, withering away. While they try to make it to the No End House, JD confronts Seth. They both realize they can't reveal to the rest of the gang that they're in on the whole house deal. So they all end up at a corn maze. That's like the one comedy sketch, then one thing led to another. So they all end up at a corn maze, inhabited by hungry zombie-like No End House people wandering around. They decide to wait for daylight to go through it, but then Seth takes Margot off to tell her that he's actually living here now, which rightfully freaks her out. Jules wanders away from the campsite because she feels beckoned by the orb she loves touching, and that's erasing her memories.
So wait a sec. Is Seth one of the creatures from within the house? Is that the idea that we're getting here? Or was he a memory that was made in the house?
I'm hoping we get more explanation on him.
So he was a memory that never got eaten?
He's either a memory that never got eaten, or he's like one of the memory eaters.
Right, but I don't think there's been any indication that those memories can get up and walk around. They're just there. I mean, when he started eating the mom memory, she didn't like wake up and go, "What are you doing?"
Well, the JD memory ate or killed the real JD.
No, we don't know that there was a memory.
If you believe
he didn't like come up through the floor.
Well, he has the same bubble tea inside him.
If you believe what Seth said, he's a regular person who just lives there. Like a regular person from the outside who just lives in the house.
Well, then how did he get out of the house to go get them and bring them into the house?
That's what he said.
You can just leave. I mean, like, they left, so maybe he likes it. They're better.
Yeah,
you
can. That's what he said.
Oh, then, wow.
He's a real dumbo.
He loves bubble tea.
He's just like the people on IMDb that think this is a good show.
He loves bubble tea.
When Dylan decides to go off to collect everyone, he binds JD to his wife in marriage and rushes off. I added that part. Then out of nowhere, a zombie-like lady from the corn maze attacks. I thought that was a dude.
No, wait. Is she out of nowhere or is she from out of the corn maze?
A zombie-like lady. Out of nowhere.
That was not a dude.
I thought it was a dude.
Nope, it was a lady for sure.
That's why I said the Panic of the Disco joke. Now it makes no sense.
Well, yeah, but it was still, still funny.
To be fair, I was really confused as to what your Panic of the Disco joke was referencing because it was for sure a lady.
I thought it was an emo dude with long hair. The lady attacks, knocking JD aside, gouging out the eyes of Lacey, killing her.
Well, that doesn't always kill you.
Doesn't always, but it did.
She did more than just gouge her eyes out. She drove her thumbs into her brain.
So that she could suck out the juicy memories.
That's right.
That's when a horrified Dylan realizes that JD is part of the house. Seth explains that this version of JD killed the real JD. Margot and Jules are scared out of their minds. Mm. And that's when Dylan murders JD by setting him on fire and stabbing him. They all run. I added the stab. They run into the corn maze where Jules sneaks off to find the orb. This time, the memory she's going to offer it is Margot herself. Just in time, Margot is able to stop her, saving her memory of her. They flee through the corn maze and even run past Margot's dad, making it to the No-End house. Now that they know the truth about Seth, they've left him behind, and scared as they are, Margot and Jules go inside. Dylan stays outside because he has unfinished business. As Margot and Jules go into the house, Margot's dad kills Dylan. Worse, Margot's dad goes into the house. That's actually caps. I just didn't want to yell. Margot and Jules make it through most of the rooms pretty easily and come out the other side. They make it back to the real world. Sadly, they're no longer in an alternate. I added sadly for some reason. They're no longer in the alternate reality, but Jules can't remember anyone in her family. Sad. That reads like a Trump tweet. But Jules can't remember anyone in her family. Sad.
Well, there's no indication. Well, okay, so that's an interesting commentary, but you don't know that by watching the show.
Yeah, there's nothing that shows that she still doesn't have a memory of them.
One more sentence.
Especially because Dylan's was operating under the guise. Like, the whole idea of Dylan being there was that if you get them to the real world, they remember everything.
Yeah, he thought his wife was going to be okay again.
They start to head home suddenly when the door opens. Margot's dead father is coming behind them. The end.
The end.
The end. No, too bad it's not actually the end.
Yeah, too bad.
They did get out. You would think it would be the end, right? Actually, you know what? Hold on. Let's just analyze this. If this was a real horror and we're pretending that it was written better and acted better, right? Wouldn't it actually be a cool ending for them to get out of the house and then part of the house gets out and then it ends?
Yeah, sure.
Like a cliffhanger.
Because it sets it up for like 10 sequels.
Well, I was going to say it just sets it up like you could be scared in real life because they're maybe coming to get you.
Okay, but like again, if that was the real ending... Like, is episode 5 and 6 just about completely different characters going into the house?
Maybe it's just about...
No, it's about him going to, like, Golden Corral and realizing there's way more to eat than bubble tea.
No, it's about him going to Costco and being like, they freaking sell that big tubs of mayonnaise? You can buy that much?
It's going to be like the end of Jurassic Park 2. He's going to go wild and scare children and eat people on the docks.
Well, you know, this could be better than Jurassic Park 2.
The season
that was not a good movie
for the show. We're going to eat Agreed. Boba tea.
I've never had it.
We'll have everything that looks like bubbles. We'll have pomegranates and boba tea and caviar.
If you're going to get us caviar for this, I'm down.
I looked up caviar when I was trying to make the thumbnail for the last episode. That crap's expensive.
It doesn't taste all that good either, from what I remember.
Well, you got to get good caviar.
Well, sure.
It's the black stuff.
So I want to hear your ratings.
Three.
Oh, no. Took a turn for the worst.
Yeah.
What's the reasoning here? I want to hear this.
Okay. So Jules has two faces and they look the exact same.
What are the two faces then if they look the same?
And it's I'm stoned and I'm slightly more stoned.
Okay.
When she was supposed to be scared, just because you lose your memories doesn't mean you lose your senses of what's going on around you. Like, well, I don't remember how to be scared. No.
How do you know?
Well, okay. I've lost a lot of memories, right? We've all lost a lot of memories.
How do you look high right now? You look freaking high as crap right now.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you react, right? So, yeah, I think one of you say, well, she's lost a lot of memories. She doesn't know if she should be scared. No, that's not how fear works. You could have no memories whatsoever, but if a tiger is standing in front of you, you're going to freak out and run.
Is a child
you're not
going
to look like you're stoned.
What if she got brought back to infancy? Do infants, are they afraid of tigers?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, my daughter is, but she's three almost.
My kids are afraid of dogs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about tigers.
Yeah, I think there would be a fear of a tiger.
All right, so going off of that, the Jules brought the whole episode down for you?
No. She's just the beginning.
Oh, okay. So keep going.
Yeah, she's just the beginning.
Just major whole, problems with Dylan too.
Well, it goes back to the when characters do things that just don't make sense.
Bringing it back to bad writing again.
Well, yeah, that is how you grade a show, right?
I can't believe you keep harping on these same points, man. It's almost like they never fix it.
Well, okay, right, but the last few episodes. Okay, you're giving him time to develop.
Are you saying the writing's getting progressively worse, or you're just tired of the bad writing at this point?
I'm tired of it. But you give shows time to develop, right? But at a certain point, you're like, well, they haven't actually developed anything, and now they've put themselves into a position where they have to force the characters to do things, or they have to make plot. They have to, like the father killing the Dylan.
Yep.
Like you said, just so they get the plot moving along. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on. That's not good. So that's a three now. So it's like, for me, I just went from a heavy four down to a three, and I think it's in a nosedive. So I don't want to bias myself for the last two episodes, but I just see it being a two and then a one.
What do you think about the character development we got out of Margot and the relationship that she has with Seth?
It was very well fleshed out.
Like the part where he says,
hey, let's high five.
I may have brought you into this house.
Oh.
I live here. And then she says, that's creepy. And then wants to leave him. How did you feel about it?
I think that's the best decision she's made on the show so far.
Fair.
I think there really should have been any kind of a hint or indication that that's what was going on. Like, If he was trying to bring her into the house for some like romantic weirdness that he has planned, like why wasn't he hanging out with her when they first got to the weird world? Like what?
You said you've watched this multiple times. Is there any indication in the first episode that would like foreshadow that?
Foreshadow is a strong word. Seeing it again.
No, foreshadow is not a strong word.
So no, it's what I'm saying is it's an ask for the show. Foreshadowing is an ask. There are references.
Yeah, I feel like they just threw a bunch of random stuff into the show, and some of it can kind like intelligent people could look at it and say, oh, maybe this means this. I don't think it was ever actually intended to mean anything. They just kind of put it together.
I have a couple questions.
Like the family in the gated community?
Yeah. What the heck is that?
Does that get explained in one of the last two episodes?
They got some explaining.
They do explain it. They explain some of the things you're asking about.
All right.
Well, I will say this. Okay. Because the plot, because the writing is so thin, it's not hard to answer the questions. So that'd be good, as opposed to like Lost, where the writing was so thick, they like completely lost the plot.
Sure, sure.
That's a pretty meta analysis of Lost.
Yeah, so the trick is to not have any plot, so you can kind of just throw answers in at the end and be like,
right.
Well.
Right. It's easier to tie up your threads when you only have one.
So before I forget.
They killed off their other threads.
There's some important things I want to ask you, and these are personal questions, so we can ignore them. But let's pretend that if we feel comfortable here, we can talk as a group. How many times do you use the word postcoital? And how many times did you do that when you were 20 years old?
I don't know. I never heard that word before.
I think you missed some very good dialogue.
I heard what she said.
She's
was that the beginning of the episode?
Yeah. So when they were waking up in bed together, I also have to ask you, and you can not answer if you don't want to. How many of you have ever partaken in a postcoital high five as referenced?
How do you spell that?
Postcoital?
Coital.
C-O-I-T.
It's of a relating to sex. Intercourse. I'm guessing.
So, I mean, that line struck me as something that a writer that thinks they're clever thought of and then didn't actually think about what it would sound like when someone says it.
I love the guts it takes.
It's Latin for sexual intercourse, especially between a man and a woman.
So, especially.
I want to hear... I haven't.
So not only did they say postcoital, she spoke Latin.
She also said
she did go to college. No,
she didn't go to college.
She didn't go to college.
I never got.
Yeah, that was Jules.
How many of you have partaken in a postcoital high five? I love saying that.
I have not.
Wait, did he for real ask for a high five?
He said I kind of want to ask you for a high five right now.
I am going to put that on my bucket list.
Right
now,
at the risk of turning this into a TV 13 episode, I will stop there.
Okay. Yeah, you're messing with the headphones,
bud.
All right, so Mark, how do you rate it?
A 3.
Yeah, what was your last one?
A 5.
Okay, so down on both of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they couldn't just be normal and smoke a cigarette.
At least that would have been a throwback to something that existed right. At some point in history.
Are you saying that no one has ever high-fived after sex?
No one has ever said those words.
Right.
No one's ever said, hey,
what? And I'm saying no one's ever high-fived.
You say, yo.
I'm sure that's happened.
Yeah. No.
Listen, dude, I don't know. It seems like a stretch.
Marcus, you said you give it a 5?
A 3. No, I gave the last episode a 5.
So he's going down. You guys are both down to 3s. You got reasons here? I want to hear them.
I think that, like, none of it made a whole... Well, it made less sense. And as Mac was saying, like, there were clear points that, like, the writers were like, well, we got to do it like this. Like, at no point did they act like... Dylan was out of ammo for a gun.
Slapped away from him by that one dad guy.
Yeah,
he's incapable of picking it up again.
No, he picked it up. He stopped the guy and picked it up.
It's an old video game. When you
maybe
drop
it,
a weapon,
maybe
it can't
it
be
broke.
Picked up again.
The firing pin broke.
He stopped the guy. Okay, and even still, a reference to that or showing you that or anything.
I think you guys are asking too much.
He stabbed the dad like he had stabbed so many of the other people. And for some reason, the dad's like, oh, nope, I'm going to, like, snap your neck and keep going.
I don't think...
He didn't snap.
He just, like, squeezed it.
Yeah, he
squeezed... But you heard bones pop.
Did he break his larynx? Is that the word for your throat?
Yeah, right, larynx.
Does it sound like it pops?
Is that Latin?
Yeah, whenever I've done that to somebody, it's pretty disgusting.
Pop.
They just choke out, lay there.
Like, I don't think there's a whole lot of reason for, one, why that zombie girl... Or as you said, the Panic at the Disco person would kill Lacey and then kind of sit there and then be like, oh, I'm really cool with JD, except for they want to have the cool scene where they light JD on fire.
Well, no, JD was part of the house. That was the thing.
JD has no memories.
He's part of the house.
She didn't have any memories either. That's why she was crazy.
Well, but.
Right, but she was a real person. Yeah,
she was a person.
She probably has some back
there. Also, there appeared to be. Or not appeared to be no reason. I guess Seth was trying to sell Margot on the idea of staying there because he wanted her to. But I'm saying that he went about it in quite possibly the worst way that he could have. So, like...
How many of you, and like, once again, this is a personal question. When you guys have attempted relationships, how many of you used fear as a tactic to get a girl to like you?
Well, I was going to say, Marcus brings up a good point. He should do what any or most red-blooded Americans do and manipulate their woman until they get what they want.
I have a question, and this is maybe asking too much of the show again. I know I've been pushing that on you guys. If he really wanted to, we'll say, make out with hot chicks, that was his goal. The house is really not a necessary part of this.
Yeah, there's better shticks to use.
Let me pitch like this Mickey. One.
Tinder. Like an actual stick would be better to use.
Or a Mickey.
Yeah, also, I mean, that works. That worked for Bill Cosby.
That's right. Yeah, he didn't have to take him to some kind of freaky house.
No, well.
Of horrors that he didn't build.
Listen, what was? Doesn't it become a house of horrors?
Sorry, I was going to make a Michael Jackson joke, but...
Michael Jackson is a child compared.
Well,
to
Bill Cosby. His thing was bringing people to a freaky house, right?
What's your what's your rating, Matt?
I think I'm down to a 2.
Oh, frick!
Yeah, down Dylan really let me down.
He was the good character, wasn't he?
Yeah, I've been trying to think through it. I don't know if it's just that his characterization was changed so much in this episode, or maybe he has changed so much from the character I had built in my own mind.
Well, when your wife gets her eyes ripped out
by a zombie. Way before that. Like
when he said, hey, don't leave the campfire when everyone was leaving.
The way he he got punked, the way he was getting punked.
Yeah, like repeatedly throughout the episode. I mean, they set him up as almost like a Terminator kind of figure. He's determined. He's just going to shoot people in the middle of the street move on.
Last time.
And then like.
Well, he was more like John Connor.
Sure. Fake husband shows up and he just kind of. Did he wait?
Hold on. I think you're being unfair. Last time you tied your wife to a chair and she pretended to know who you were. Would you not want to free her?
Well, no. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the fake husband shows up and he has the gun on him.
Uh-huh.
Like, based on what I've seen of the guy so far, he should have just immediately shot him.
Okay, so like, I thought about this. The only justification I could think is maybe he didn't want to see... He didn't want his wife to see him murking that fool right there. Just because maybe she would have not been able to handle it.
Okay, but...
Am I reading too much?
Okay,
but...
Am I defending the show too much?
Okay, and Michael, maybe. Let's argue that he clearly had no problem with, like, defending himself and stuff. Because he does stab him and make his wife watch that guy bleed out and choke on his own blood. But,
it seems a little worse.
He also does this thing where... The guy's clearly coming at him without his hands raised, just kind of walking towards him a little determined, and doesn't even fire a warning shot or do a whole lot to stop him. He kind of just lets the guy get close enough to slap the gun out of his hand.
Well, and they've established that he knows how this house works. He knows this isn't a real guy. He's not going to respond correctly. So it makes sense for him to have just put him down. That's the way he's acted so far.
Mac, you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
Who acted in self-defense? Fake husband or real husband? If you draw a gun...
Well, if you look at the castle defense doctrine...
Okay.
Particularly...
But whose house was it?
In the state of Florida. I'm working my way there. Okay. Then they should both be dead.
Should both be dead.
Yeah.
My question is, like, is drawing a gun on someone an act of aggression?
Only if you intend to shoot them.
And he clearly didn't, or he would have.
He had no intent on shooting that
he
man.
He didn't. That's right. And he didn't shoot him. He never shot him. He never fired that gun.
That is the first thing they teach you in the Marine Corps, is you always pull your gun on somebody, even if you don't if you don't have a good reason.
And you never shoot them. And if you are expecting them to hurt you physically, especially don't shoot them, even when they are approaching you menacingly.
Right. Let them get really close to you so that your gun is almost useless at that point.
If they take your gun, can't shoot them and get in a crime.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing, though. That's America's strategy. You let them take your gun. Now they think you're not going to kill them. Stab them. You tricked him.
I don't think that was part of his strategy.
It's a mind game.
Nope, I think he made that part up.
He had to ad-lib that part.
Yeah, he had to improvise.
And also, his brilliant plan at the end to burn down the house when he does nothing to start burning down the house.
So,
I mean, was he going to light it with his one stick that
maybe
he
Maybe by burning him? Down the house, he meant killing everyone. Also, I just remembered well, something.
Well, he's off to a great start.
Since, he died to the next
problem was he started with himself.
Dang it, wrong order.
He's like, I was supposed to be last. Dang
I'm the lore master of this show, and I just remembered something. At the very, 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 very first scene that Dylan is in the house, a fake version of his wife walks up to him, and he has no problem just point blank capping her in the head immediately.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I remember that.
So the character did change.
That was out in the street.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then the guy's doing the trash. He just kind of sees it.
Yep.
And he doesn't clean it
up. So yeah, they definitely did change the character.
That's my number one reason for rating this episode lower. He was the one hope I had in the show. Everyone else sucked already.
Kind of from the get-go.
The subreddit agreed with you. I was watching this and keeping up with the Reddit at the time, and people were like, why the crap did he just become a pansy and die?
However,
I'm glad I am in line with Reddit, so now I feel better about my opinion.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
I really do love the scene of everybody kind of just leaving the campfire and he's like, hey, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't. Did he even like raise his voice?
Nope.
They may have
used the same clip of him saying, hey, actually.
Hey, yeah. Hey. So, well, the problem was it wasn't in all caps in the script. So he didn't know
he was supposed to yell.
Yeah, he didn't know he was supposed to. He should have yelled.
I guess he was trying to act in a more nuanced way in this episode. Like he was doing angry.
He didn't want to go full Pacino.
But he's actually only capable of doing angry. So
he didn't want to go full Pacino.
Like, when you think about it, his anger is what made you like him.
Yeah, it is. He should have stuck with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, so
you would like him when he's angry.
In theory, so, like, he sees the two people go off, and, like, he's like, hey, and he's like, okay, well, maybe they're gonna go hook up. And then she starts to head back to the area where all the bad people were and stuff, and that doesn't get too concerning for him to wait till she gets, like, half a mile away, and he's like, oh, that's probably gonna be a problem.
Yeah, if he would have just stopped her from going immediately instead of saying, hey, and then waiting.
Waiting, I don't know, a good... She got pretty far. She was just mosey.
They were far enough away that in a flat, empty field, they couldn't see each other anymore. That's pretty freaking far away.
He made no decision in this episode that made any sense. Yeah, not one.
And at night.
It was lit. It was real lit.
Well,
for Jules.
It was scene lit.
Jules was lit.
Yeah, everything in the whole show has been lit for Jules.
What about the corn maze? Do you find corn mazes creepy?
Not anymore.
Man, I can never go inside one, dude.
Yeah, which is sad because like it was filled with people that want to eat you. It was not creepy. if a corn maze should be creepy, a corn maze filled with people that want to eat you should be creepy.
What about when they found the ball? Was that creepy?
That was kind of silly.
I get
what they're trying to do, right? It's like, ooh, this ball just shows up out of nowhere.
So
it's always where she is, and she's the only one who ever seems to find this ball. But no, I didn't.
Is it a prisoner reference? No.
I think that there's at some point had to have been a scene, probably when Dylan was getting stabbed, when Margot just looked at Jules and was like, "What the frick was up with that ball thing I pulled you off of?"
Dylan,
like,
what
was that? Why have they not had a conversation about this?
Hold on. So let's see. JD had fake JD who murdered him. Margot has Papa. Jules has
ball.
A ball. What is the ball? What are our thoughts on the ball in general? How do we feel about the ball?
It's her memories of her in the womb.
Okay. How do we feel about it? Is it creepy?
It's like a reverse.
Do we
it's
like
reverse
it? It's
creepy.
Way better at sucking memories than Margot's.
It's
dad.
Like a recapitulation of her life in reverse.
Margot's
in a womb.
Margot's memory dad is nice enough to try to be nice about stealing memories from her, but not nice enough to not steal memories from her.
Well, no, he let her go, remember?
Can we give her a head start?
If you love her, let her go.
That's right.
Well, I mean, that's all influenced by her memory of her real dad. She sees him as mostly kind, but has an edge of selfishness because he killed himself.
JD's view of himself is pretty...
That's my legit analysis. I'm not trying to make a joke there.
No, that's why I didn't laugh.
That's Matt trying to make the sense, make the show better than it is.
So I'm guessing we wouldn't watch this if we'd started.
Yep, nope. I would for sure not watch episode 5. Yeah,
I made a different decision than me because I finished the show.
There were several points along this way where I would have bailed, but...
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Michael, were you giving the show a hard time when you watched it with Amanda? Like, did you guys make fun of it some?
When we... got to this episode. So when we saw episode 2 with the first cannibal eyes, I was like, okay, something might be happening here.
Hmm.
When we got to this episode, I was like, I think we got duped. I think we might, especially because they got out. I was like, I think we might have fallen down a rabbit hole. And at that point, we were no longer in any way scared, but I was along for the laughs. Like I finished it not thinking it was going to be good, but thinking it might be funny.
Hmm. Yeah, I think, honestly, at this point, if I've seen episode 4, I know there's 2 episodes left, I would finish it.
I mean, that's what we did.
I'd be like, it's funny.
If for something happened, right, and so we couldn't do this anymore, I would feel no compulsion, even though I could watch this for free, to go finish watching this.
Really? Yeah, same here.
I would be like,
want to finish it tonight.
I would be like, yeah, I don't care.
Hmm.
Like, I am looking forward to making fun of it again.
Right.
But I have no desire to watch it on my own.
Yeah, but if like you're like, oh, we can't do the show anymore, you wouldn't be like, well, there's only 2 episodes now, left. And
what
I,
the crap
when I watch closure. When I watch Stranger Things.
I don't think we can compare the two because Stranger Things is a very good show.
Right, no, I understand that, but I'm just making a comparison as to there. I could not have stopped that show. Right, that's on the other end.
Well, sure, yeah, because Stranger Things is a very good show.
Right,
but like, what's a mediocre show that you were like, I should probably finish this because I'm mostly done?
The Flash.
With what season?
Yeah, how many seasons are you making?
So I finished the. I want to say second season,
okay.
Knowing I was done with the show.
Okay. So, yeah,
that's
I feel like I did the same.
I'm not sure I finished a mediocre show. I've quit a lot of mediocre shows, and I've finished a lot of really good shows.
That was right about the time I started dropping a lot of shows. So, I dropped The Arrow. I dropped the Legends of Tomorrow. I was watching a bunch of shows, and I was like, I'm just not going to keep watching these mediocre shows. There's too much good stuff out there.
I did finish Luke Cage. That's probably a good example of
season
a mediocre.
One.
Yeah,
the first half of the season had enough momentum to carry me through. Right, that was all momentum because the first half was spectacular.
And same thing with Iron Fist. I finished that.
I did not. I quit. I even watched 4 episodes. I'm like, this has got to get better.
And it
doesn't.
That's the most recent mediocre show I can think of that I finished.
I wouldn't call that mediocre though.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's more on the bad side.
Below mediocre.
But it was the momentum of the other Marvel shows that carried me through.
How all of them were pretty good.
Yeah.
For that one.
Have you guys ever been coerced into watching a show like with your wife? Like have you ever like watched a show only because she wanted you to watch it?
Psych.
Yes.
Do you like Psych?
Yeah, I like it now.
Have you ever
Survivor?
Had your wife try to get you to watch a show and it was so bad that you just couldn't do it?
Yeah.
Which would this fit into if your wife really wanted to watch it?
So bad I couldn't do it.
Oh, rip. That's hardcore, man.
Oh, I think if I was consistently watching something with someone and they wanted to see the end of this, I'd watch it with them.
Oh, good, because so, we're recording this podcast against
time. So actually a fairly recent one is Once Upon a Time. So I started watching.
Frick.
I started watching Once Upon a Time with her, and then I was like, I tapped out. She still watches it, and she will tell me, "Oh, it's gotten so much better."
I'll
catch some of the like bits of the episodes, and I'm like, "No, it hasn't got."
My wife tapped out of that show, and I was so freaking happy. I was like, "I cannot watch this."
We did start watching Call the Midwife, and I tapped out of that one pretty early on.
Show I cannot watch.
And well, Morgan stopped watching it too, but I quit before she did.
I could not stop watching that show, or I could not watch that show. When I watch TV shows,
I don't know about Midwife.
But I love to watch babies die.
I want to say I watched 3, maybe 4 seasons of Once Upon a Time. I'm not sure where they're up to now, but after Goldfinger, whatever his name is, Rumpelstiltskin, had switched sides like the eighth time.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I'm done.
Yeah, see, I did that with the first season of Legends of Tomorrow when I watched two people arguing about a thing. It took a cut to a different scene, and when it came back, they were arguing still, but they had switched sides, essentially. To like one person, like, we need to do this. One person's like,
and they had switched sides of the argument. Right?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm done. Now I'm good. I'm out.
I think what we're saying is here is maybe CW shows suck.
Well, yeah, I came to
well, Once Upon a Time's on CW.
No, but you said Arrow, it ought to Flash, be. And Legends of Tomorrow. They all are.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. They all started well. They all started. Arrow started decent, and Flash started decent. But it's like immediately they. I don't want to say they realized, but their creative talents that were behind those shows did not know where to go with the characters.
I disagree.
I think they oftentimes. Are they get some people who like comic books and stuff or like stories, and then they make the first season and people like it, and they're like, oh wait, this is CW, this is for like middle-aged women, make it more like a soap opera is what happens.
I think what happens is
do you think our podcast is actually for middle-aged women?
Well, I know me and Michael's know, other podcast
the,
is
it's I know the, Michael the you want graphic Michael you want to say something, but real quick, the show that epitomizes what you just said, Marcus, is a show in, I want to say, the mid-2000s called Human Target. And it was basically, it was James Bond in TV. And as this guy, he had all the right skills, right? And he was awesome. It was an awesome show. First season was awesome. Great action. Second season, they introduced these other characters to try to hit another demographic, right? We'll just say that. And it was absolutely terrible. And it wasn't terrible because they introduced other characters. Is they didn't know how to write these characters. It's like they forced the characters in, as in, you will like these characters. And it was obvious that's how they were writing them. You know, these characters could not make mistakes. They were basically superpowered in a show that had no superheroes, right? They always did everything right. They always knew everything. They're always doing the thing that showed up the other people. And it just got really bad. And it got canceled at the end of the second season. But I highly recommend the first season. Human Target. Sorry.
I was just going to reference this sometimes, like maybe with a podcast called Life's What You Rate It. You try to make a podcast that appeals to a lot of people, and you end up having a target demographic that you did not expect.
What was the podcast?
My brother and my podcast called Life's What You Rate It. When I look at the demographic, it's like 20 to 40 year old women is the majority of our listenership.
What is that? Where's that data get pulled from?
Facebook.
Oh, okay.
It could just be because 90% of Facebook is 20 to 40 year old women. But
yeah, that could be part of that.
But I'm not going to say anything bad about them because they listen. To
I mean,
my
they
show.
Do listen to our show.
Well, they're interested in what your generation is rating things. It's their way of getting back in touch.
20 to 40-year-old women, that is me. I'm almost 30.
Oh, you said 20 to... I only heard the 40.
No, 20 to 40-year-old women, that's me.
Yeah, that's a mix of Gen X and millennials. Yeah, late stage Gen Xers and early stage millennials. Yeah, and like late stage millennials and early stage Gen Zers now, they're not on Facebook. They're not using Facebook. Facebook has a demographic problem. Amongst other problems, but
yeah, we can talk about it. They got hacked again.
Really?
Oh, today?
Recently.
What do you mean again? Cyber Analytica was not a hack.
No, they got, well, okay, fine. They got hacked recently. They got hacked again. They got hacked for something else. They had a leak. That wasn't that. It was something else. Anyway.
Was it a lot like the leak in this episode of No One House when it was kind of just black ooze? And then she had to do the quick platforming puzzle to get over.
Cambridge Analytica, by the way. I said cyber. It's Cambridge Analytica.
Thanks for fact-checking yourself. I was going to have to edit it out. I do a lot of fact-checking when I'm editing. That's why the episode gets a lot shorter. Anyway, anybody else have anything else to add?
Nope.
No, I'm good.
No End House.
All right, cool. Thanks for listening. We love you. Thanks for listening to the podcast that we produce here at WagMatters.com. Just in case you didn't know, we have a lot of different shows running right now. There's Life's What You Rate It, where me and my brother Mark rate everything on a scale from 1 to 10 that exists in the entire universe, Tune In, where Marcus and his friend Karsten talk about cartoons and their value for people of all ages. Of course, Whack Tracks, where me and a bunch of friends make commentary tracks for whatever shows or movies we might be into at the time. And our newest show on the network, The Music Matters, where my friend Trevor creates a discussion around all the matters relating to music. If you'd like to support the content we make here at WhackMatters.com, please go to WhackMatters.StoreMV.com and check out our merchandise section. We sell t-shirts right now, and there's more merchandise to come. Even if you don't want to buy a t-shirt, there is a donate button at WhackMatters.com that you can use to support the content that we already make and to help fund creative ideas for the future. Additionally, this podcast is also brought to you by Audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters, you can sign up for a free 30-day trial with Audible.com where you get to listen to a free audiobook of your choosing and can continue subscribing for an awesome audiobook content subscription. Remember, that's audibletrial.com/whackmatters. We love you all and hope you will continue checking out the content we make here at whackmatters.com. Have a great day.